Indeed. We're going to be taking a listen to an episode of Light's Out, known as The Battle of Magicians. And then we're going to be taking a listen to Suspense, Let There Be Light. And I thought that might be an interesting choice, given that this is the closest show that I have this year to the summer solstice. So sit back, relax, and don't go gently into the failing of the night. Here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Do you want to know more about human rights abuses, global issues, and international politics? Are you interested in writing to foreign and local governments in response to global crises? Are you ready to give peace a chance? If your answer is yes, then Amnesty International UBC may be the club for you. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/AIUBC or send us an email at amnestyubc@gmail.com.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Lights Out, a summer revival of some of the best stories in the series, which many of our listeners will remember. Tonight's story, the fourth in the current series, is called The Battle of the Magicians.
Lights out, everybody. This is the witching hour. It is the hour when dogs howl and evil is let loose on a sleeping world. Sit in the dark now and listen to Lights Out.
But, Mr. Saladin, is it true?
True? What makes the thing true, Irene? Because you believe in it? Or because a million others believe in it? Or, I can tell you this. The Penal Code of Haiti contains a section promising death to any who create zombies. And if the sober lawmakers of the country believe enough of it to put it into their books of law, well, then...
But it's impossible to raise the dead, Mr. Saladin.
Impossible? I wonder... The folklore of every country is full of tales of bringing the dead back to life, bringing them back to serve the living. There are tales of vampires, ghosts, werewolves.
But they're superstitions. Surely you don't...
Who am I, my dear Irene, to say where truth ends and superstition begins?
I'd like to know some more about zombies.
I've told you all that is known of them. How they are living, yet not living, dead. How they are summoned from the grave by the black magic of some sorcerer. How they must do his bidding until he wearies of them.
But must these poor dead people... Well, I mean, isn't there ever any rest for them? Can't they...
Can they not die again? Yes, there is a way. Zombies eat, you know, even as human beings do. But only when they are fed. They will not seek food for themselves. And if they eat salt... If anything containing salt so much as passes a zombie's lips, then he must return forthwith to his grave.
Oh, but Mr. Saladin...
That's the tale, Irene. I do not make it up.
But...
Look you, these creatures of the darkness, these unholy beings of superstition, they must obey laws. Nature has its laws, so there are laws of the supernatural. Immutable laws that all its creatures must obey, even as we creatures of nature must obey ours. You speak of superstition.
But superstition is just belief.
Ah, it is so. But we have been taught only in recent years to believe in certain things that science has learned. The germ theory of disease, for example.
But that's true, Mr. Saladin.
Perhaps, yes. I do not deny it. There is ample proof. There is also ample proof of the existence of supernatural beings, if one will take the trouble to look for it.
Not proof.
Proof indeed. But, it appears we have a visitor, Irene.
Yes, sir. I'll see who it is, Mr. Saladin. Mr. Joseph Warner, president of Acme Airlines, Mr. Saladin.
So? Show him in then, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Saladin will see you, Mr. Warner.
Thank you.
Good morning to you, Mr. Warner.
Yes, Aladdin?
Saladin, yes.
You're some kind of detective.
Some people have been, shall I say, kind enough to describe me as an investigator.
I hear that you're good.
Thank you. Won't you sit down? And so you have come to consult me about the recent wrecks of your airplanes, Mr. Warner.
How did you... Oh, yes, the newspapers, of course. Well, that's right, Mr. Saladin.
So?
You read about that one yesterday?
Yes.
14 killed, including the crew of three. Absolutely no explanation for it.
Except what you know, Mr. Warner.
What?
I said except what you know about it.
What do you mean?
You would not have come to me, Mr. Warner, unless... Well, suppose you explain.
I'd like to know how you knew that.
It is my business, sir. Yes, Irene?
The window washer, Mr. Saladin. Can he come through your office?
Very well. One moment, Mr. Warner.
Excuse it, please. I got to get the window's washed.
That is a job I would not like very well, I'm afraid, Mr. Warner. But to your business. You received a warning, hmm?
Yes, I received it. How did you know that?
I have some knowledge of the ways in which Dr. Ehrlich works, Mr. Warner.
Ehrlich? That's the name.
I was rather certain. You may read the letter. It was a letter, I assume.
Yes. There were two of them. The first one a week ago. It said, "This Dr. Ehrlich had need of $100,000... And the letter warned if I didn't come across, one of our ships would be wrecked."
And you assumed this was a crank letter, and did nothing about it.
That's right. We get a lot of fool letters.
And because you took that attitude, 14 people are dead. Horribly dead.
Yes.
You said there were two letters.
Yes, here's the other one.
Mm-hmm. "Today, the tornado. Take warning." And Alec's signature. The tornado was the name of the airplane that crashed.
Yes, John Elliott was piloting it. The oldest, safest pilot on the line. I can't understand it.
I can, Mr. Warner.
You can.
Tell me, when did you receive this letter?
About 5 minutes before the flash came that the tornado had crashed.
He timed it very well.
Yes, I...
Did you make any effort to trace this letter?
No, why... Well, there was so much excitement around the office,
Of course. And so what do you wish me to do?
I haven't given this to the police, Mr. Saladin. The publicity, you know. People would think it's easy to smash one of our airliners. You understand?
Yes. You wish me to find Alec. To...
What you do with him, Mr. Saladin, is no concern of mine. Provided no more such things occur.
Mr. Warner, I know Alec of old. His life is forfeit 1,000 times over. But you yourselves have an old proverb. First, catch your rabbit.
You catch him, Saladin. It'll be worth your while.
Yes. Yes, it will be very much worth my while, my friend.
Can you get to work at once, Mr. Saladin? You can understand. We're upset.
I understand. I promise nothing, Mr. Warner. Except that I will try. No man may do more.
Oh, that's all that I can ask. You'll go after him, then?
It is agreed.
Good. You, have a cigar, What's this?
Let me see that. Let me see it.
How the devil did that get in my pocket?
Ah. Read it yourself, Mr. Warner.
Oh, yes, sir. You have been very foolish to go to Saladin. Now your fate is sealed. I will destroy your airplanes one by one. And when the time comes, yourself. I have fought with Saladin before, as he well knows. This time is the last, Eric.
So, my friend, you have brought upon yourself.
He knows. How could he?
Down on the floor, quick! Score one for Saladin, I think.
But what
our delightful friend, the window washer. I just caught sight of... Let us see what has happened.
Good Lord, Saladin, do you think...
A crowd gathers in the street below. Morbid gazers on sudden death.
O'clock, Mr. Saladin.
Thank you, Irene. If you are ready.
You won't hurt me, Mr. Saladin.
I give you my word, Irene.
I'm afraid.
You need have no fear. No harm can come to you while I live.
I do want to help you, Mr. Saladin. Only
listen to me one moment, Irene. Of 50 girls who applied for this position, I selected you. I've not told you why.
No, I never could understand.
It was for one reason, Irene. You have the little, oh so very little, psychic spark that is lacking in all the other ones who came. You do not know it yourself, but Saladin knows. I must use you, but I shall not unless you consent wholeheartedly.
I'll do it, Mr. Saladin. I trust you.
You will not lose by it, my child. Look, then, we have a little time. Sit here. Sit comfortably. So, now we begin. Look into the crystal. Look deep into it, my child. Say over and over to yourself. Early. Early.
Early.
Early.
Early. Early.
Seek out the soul of Erlik the magician while he sleeps. Go and find him, Irene. Find Erlik. Find Erlik. Search deep in the crystal globe. Erlik.
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 Who calls Erlik?
It is I, Saladin, that calls Erlik.
What do you want, Saladin?
You will tell me where I shall find you, Erlik.
No, I shall not.
You will tell Erlik?
No.
I am master of your soul that wanders now while your body sleeps, Erlik. You will tell me where to find you.
I will not.
Tell me?
No. No.
Tell me.
In the tower. In the tower. I will not tell more.
You will, Erlik. Tell me.
In the tower, the highest tower of all.
And where is it, this tower?
I will not tell more. I will not.
Tell, Erlik.
I will not. I will not tell.
I say you shall, Erlik.
I will not tell. Beware. Your power wanes now, Saladin.
Be sure you will not remember what you have told Erlik when you awake.
I will remember.
By the five names I commanded, Erlik, you will not remember.
I will not remember.
Erlik.
Awake now, Erlik. Awake, Irene. Awake.
Are you all ready now, Mr. Saladin?
Just sit quietly and rest, my child. So, Erlik, I think perhaps we shall have a little talk together.
LeBlanc in Trip 5. Radio check, please.
KCT to LeBlanc in Trip 5 on the line. Okay.
LeBlanc to KCT. How are you, Shorty?
KCT to LeBlanc. Okay, Frenchie. Who's your pilot today?
LeBlanc to KCT. I do not know yet. Charlie Butler is sick all of a sudden. That is what I wait for.
KCT to LeBlanc. Better see your records straight before you take off, Frenchie.
LeBlanc to KCT. That is not my business, Shorty, my friend. I am just co-pilot. I pull up the landing gear, sometimes land. I just go along for the ride.
KC, T to LeBlanc. Okay, Frenchie. Jazz your motors when your pilot's ready. I'll check you off. That's all, KCT.
Are you the co-pilot on this trip?
You scare me a little bit. Yes, sir. You are a pilot?
I am the pilot. Yes. We are ready to take off.
We are ready long time. Your papers are all right?
The manifest is all right. Yes.
I am Francis LeBlanc.
Yes.
KCT to LeBlanc on the line. Okay to take off. Ceiling unlimited. Visibility unlimited. Temperature 4-4. Dew point 2-8. Barometer 29-90. Okay to take off. KCT to LeBlanc. Bye.
LeBlanc to KCT. Merci, Shorty. I see you Thursday. LeBlanc to KCT. Bye.
Happy landings, Frenchie.
Oh, pardonnez-moi, monsieur. You want to take off, eh?
I will take off. Yes.
Oui. Voilà.
Up gear,
sir.
You have checked everything, LeBlanc.
We have checked everything. We are all right. Just long buggy ride. 10 passengers, mail, express.
Right.
How you like this plane, huh?
All right.
Excuse me, I do not think I catch your name, please.
My name is Ott. Edward Ott.
I am pleased to meet you, Monsieur Ott. You know what? I think I remember that name. There was a pilot named Ott that died 2 weeks ago on east end of the line.
Is that so?
Oui, it is so. He's a relative of you, Monsieur Ott?
No, he is not relative.
So? You like me to fly here a little while?
No. I am pilot of this ship. I will do the flying.
Ça va, monsieur.
So, you did find me after all, Saladin. The very clever Saladin. Well, I think this time the very clever Saladin has had his last adventure, no?
I do not believe you will win, Nelik.
No? I do, my dear enemy. I have not time now to find out you learned where my laboratory is, but there is time enough for that.
It is simple enough, Elling. You talked in your sleep, you see.
I remember now. I knew I had dreamed.
But I forbade you to remember, Ellie.
Yeah, well, one little victory. I've waited a long time for this, Saladin.
Yes, and failed a great many times.
I will not fail this time.
What is written is written. I should be interested in how you caused that airplane to crash yesterday, Alec.
Yes. It was so simple, Saladin. I am amazed at a man of your attainment.
I think I know.
Well, I shall show you very soon. You will not tell anyone about it, I think.
I wonder.
They said there was no clue to the crash, Saladin.
Yes?
Would you like to know how?
I think I know.
Oh? Well,
you too know something of black magic?
I know a great deal of black magic, my friend. Shall I show you? Are you afraid of snakes, Saladin?
No, Erling.
Let us see. This bit of paper. Twist it. So. And you see it is but paper, Saladin. But now, look at it.
A cobra. You are clever, Alec. And look now. Harmless paper again.
Ah.
I am not entirely powerless, Alec, even though my hands are bound.
How did you? I thought that only one man in the world...
That I am the man, Alec. Look the paper closely again.
I fear I underestimate.
You see? It really is the snake, Alec.
Curse you! I'll have your heart for that.
Perhaps. But perhaps you had better get to your zombies again.
Zombies? How did you know?
It is possible that I read your mind, Alec.
So. Well, you have guessed it. I told that fool Warner that I would smash every one of his planes. Now, even now, he is about to lose another.
So? And how do you propose to do it, may I ask?
Read my mind, Saladin.
You challenge me?
Yes.
Very well, then. I read this. A living dead man is at the controls of the ship you intend to destroy. I do not know how you propose to control him. Ah, radio. So he is to crash the ship full of passengers near an airport where all can see. I wonder...
Saladin, until now I have regarded you as a meddler. A man foolishly staking his life against great odds. I am not so sure of the odds now. Saladin, you and I...
No, Alec. Between you and me, there can be nothing but enmity. We are set apart to fight one another forever.
Between us, we could rule the world. Tomorrow, Saladin.
No, between us, there is always war.
Well... So be it, then. But look for no mercy from me. I will kill you as I would a rat, Saladin.
Agreed, if you can.
LeBlanc in 25. LeBlanc in 25. To Chicago. Special weather report, please. LeBlanc in 5. Bye for Chicago.
So, the first contact.
That is the ship, then?
That is the ship, yes.
That did not sound like the voice of a zombie, Alec.
No. That is Miller, the co-pilot. He does the bidding of my dead man. So, and now their little drama begins. Will you listen?
It is your drama. Now?
Quite so, my friend. I must get to work. Alec, calling pilot up in trip 5, Acme Airlines. Alec, calling pilot up in trip 5, Acme Airlines.
Out in trip 5. I hear you.
Give your position.
5 miles southeast of Chicago.
Good. You will do as I tell you.
I will do as you tell me. Who is speaking, please? What is enough from you? Be silent.
Yes, sir, but...
You are under pilot's orders, LeBlanc. You will do as you are told.
Who are you, sacrilege?
Silent.
Yes, sir, but... Yes, sir.
Now up. When you arrive above the Chicago airport, you are to circle the field 3 times full motor.
I am to circle the field 3 times full motor.
And then when I give the word, you are to climb to 2,000 feet.
I am to climb to 2,000 feet.
And then I will tell you when.
You will tell me when.
And you will dive the ship full motor into the ground in the center of the field.
I will dive the ship full motor into the center of the field.
That is all.
I know. Who is it that makes the...
Silence him.
Oh.
You have thought of everything, Alec.
Yes. This pilot, he died 2 weeks ago. I secured his body.
You add grave robbery to your other crimes.
But of course. I must have one that was a pilot. And he obeys without question, you see.
So far, yes. But you have not won yet.
I am close enough, Saladin.
I wonder.
Hut, report your position.
Southwest of Chicago Airport. I can see the field.
Good. You are ready?
I am ready.
Your co-pilot?
He is here. He will not interfere.
Report when you are over the field.
I will report when I am over the field.
Alec, what would you do if I told your zombie what to do?
Hut! You are to obey only Alec's commands.
I will obey only Alec's commands.
Do you mind if I talk to him?
Go ahead and try.
Leblanc? Leblanc?
Who calls?
Do you hear me, Leblanc?
I hear you.
Est-ce que vous avez un morceau de serre?
De serre, monsieur?
De serre, oui.
Peut-être, monsieur, mais pourquoi?
Stop! What did you say to him, Saladin?
You do not speak French, then, Ellie?
Of course. Certainly.
Then you know that I asked him merely if there was anything he could do. And he replied that he could not.
Of course. But why did you...
I'm afraid that you are about to win, Ellie.
You admit it, then.
I am sorry.
It is too late now. It is too late, Saladin. I offered to join forces with you once. But now, I am the master.
Art reporting. I am over Chicago Airport now.
Good. Begin your circle.
I will begin my circles.
Now, friend Saladin, we shall see. Perhaps we shall even hear the screams. The dying screams of the passengers in this doomed ship. It is a wonderful invention, this radio. True magic.
Yes, it is true magic.
You will tell me when you are ready, Eric.
I will tell you. Make your circles.
I am making a circle.
Do they see you on the field below?
Many people are coming out to watch.
Good. We will give them a show.
We will give them a show.
Leblanc. Leblanc.
Oui, monsieur.
You may speak to him as you wish, Saladin. It is too late now, and he is powerless.
Yes, I am afraid so, but... Leblanc, avez-vous des serres?
Oui, monsieur. Il y a des petits grains ici de mon déjeuner, mais pourquoi?
Écoutez, le pilote, c'est un loup-garou.
Hein? C'est vrai, monsieur, mais...
Écoutez, va-t-il le serre sur ses lèvres? Dans sa bouche, comprenez? Vitement.
There is nothing you can do, Leblanc. Hutt, are you ready?
I am ready.
Vitement. Vitement, Leblanc.
Here, Mr. Hutt, taste a little of the salt.
Salt? What have you...
Listen.
Take over, Mr. Leblanc. What? I take over. My work is done.
Hutt! Hutt, come back. Come back, I say.
No. My work for you is done. I go now. I go home.
Come back. Come back. Come back, I say.
Monsieur, I was just in time, monsieur.
So, you did it, eh, Saladin?
I did it, yes.
So, well, you have beaten me again. But this time...
It is too late, Ellie.
You think so? You do not know Ellie.
I know that...
Ellie is very cold!
You will not think of
it! Out the window!
You are too late, gentlemen. I doubt that even Ellie could survive a 40-story fall.
Monsieur! Where are you, monsieur? Where are you?
I am here, Leblanc. What happened?
Monsieur, when I did put the salt on his lips, as you tell me of what he did say to me... Take over.
Yes, we heard him. Is the plane all right?
It is under control. I am circling.
Where is Ott? Where is the pilot?
I do not know. He left his seat that went up. Number one. Somebody is not right.
Leblanc, what is it?
It is the cabin door. Someone has opened it.
Leblanc, what happened?
Monsieur Ott, the pilot, he jumped out. He is falling. He is going to land on the long runway.
Oh. Leblanc. Is your plane still all right?
Yes. I am all right. But I cannot land now. You understand. I will circle until I contact the control tower.
Of course, Leblanc. What is happening on the field?
People are running out toward the... Oh, mon Dieu, I...
Quick, Leblanc. What is it?
I do not believe what my eyes see. That broken dead body on the runway. Every bone in it must be smashed, but...
Yes, Leblanc. What is it?
That body, monsieur. It is crawling toward the cemetery that stands beside the field.
All right. You can turn them on now.
You have just heard Lights Out. This was the fourth in the series of revivals of the best stories of this famous series. In tonight's cast, you heard Everett Clark as Saladin, Tony Parrish as Alec, Meg Hahn as Irene, Duke Watson as Mr. Werner, Boris Aplon as Ott, Nathan Davis as LeBlanc, and Ernest Andrews as the radio operator. India is the setting of our story next Saturday night. You'll hear how a British sahib, wise in the ways of the Orient, wreaks a terrible revenge on a Chicago gangster who has wronged him. Of course, if you don't want to be scared stiff, you can always listen to something else. But if you're around about this time next Saturday night, tune in. Lights Out is produced and directed by Albert Cruz. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. In a moment, Act One of Let There Be Light, starring Ivor Francis and written especially for Suspense by Irwin Lewis. Sharp touch of winter was in the air, chilling my fingers and making my nostrils cling together. In a little while, the snow would fall, silent, ghost-like, covering the surrounding hills, the winding path to my cabin. Soon, another winter would be my only companion. The heavy snowdrifts would make it impossible for Helen to come until spring. What's that? She always comes on horseback. Wait, it stopped at the foot of the hill. Well, I don't think it would be anybody I know. Well, whoever it is coming up, I'll go inside. If they knock, I won't answer. Maybe they'll think nobody's here and go away. But why? Why would anybody be coming up here?
Wind is cutting through me like a knife.
Oh, will you stop complaining? At least you're wearing a top coat. This fur piece of mine wouldn't keep a rabbit warm.
Oh, my feet are frozen. This is a waste of time, Gloria. Nobody's fool enough to live at the top of this hill.
There's smoke coming out of the chimney.
Huh? Yeah, you're right. Okay, this has got to be it. Through that window. See anybody?
Yeah, there's somebody inside, all right.
Good. Open up. We know you're inside.
Come in. The door's unlocked.
Why the devil didn't you answer right away?
He has a hard voice. I don't like him. Whoever he is, I don't like him at all. I don't think I know you. What do you want?
Now, look, that's no example of Western hospitality. We're strangers. You should invite us in with open arms, kid, instead of just standing there in the corner. We're cold. You should ask us to warm up by the fire. In fact, if you don't mind, I'm going to take advantage of that stove right now. I'm half frozen. Oh, boy. That feels better. Hey, that coffee smells good. How about a cup, huh?
Help yourself.
Well, that's not being a gentleman, is it, Sam?
Shut up, Gloria. You talk too much.
There's your coffee.
No sugar, no cream.
Here.
Thanks.
Don't get too comfortable, Gloria. We're not staying long. Kid, you live here?
That's right.
All alone?
Yeah. Who are you?
My name is Shelby, Sam Shelby. This is my friend, Gloria Jackman. What's your name?
Bill Dennison. Well, what do you want?
Information, kid. Right, Sam?
She's younger than he is. Her voice isn't very pleasant either. Yeah, they're two of a kind.
Now look, what do I know that would interest you? A plane cracked up near here night before last. Did you see it?
No.
Were you here when it crashed?
Yes, I'm always here.
And you had to see it. It's no more than half a mile from the foot of this hill.
I was here, I told you. I heard it crash, but I didn't see it.
You're lying to me. You had to see it.
Take it easy. Now, listen, kid, I'll tell you how it is. You see, a friend of ours was flying that plane down to Mexico. We were supposed to meet him there day after tomorrow, but something went wrong and he cracked up. He managed to get to that town in the valley and phoned us. When we got to the town hospital a couple of hours ago, they told us he died maybe an hour after he phoned. Now you see how it is?
No, I don't. I told you I didn't see the plane. And I still don't know what you want from me.
All right, let's cut the comedy. This friend of ours had some... Well, he had something on the plane that belongs to us. We went over every foot of the wreck and it's not there. Now, there's nobody within miles of this place, so it's got to be that... You took it. Now, hand it over.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see the plane. I couldn't...
What are you trying to hand me? You'd have to be blind not to see it.
That's right.
That's right. I don't believe you. You wouldn't be living up here all alone if you was blind.
Sam, he's got to be lying. Did you see the way he lit his cigarette and the way he gets around?
I've lived here for 5 years, ever since I lost my sight in a mine accident. I know every inch of this room.
I still say you're lying.
There's one way to find out. Take off those glasses.
No.
All right, then I'll take them off.
Don't touch me.
There.
Oh. Hey, you poor guy.
Yeah. I must be a beautiful sight with two black pits where my eyes should be, huh? At least I'm luckier than you. I can't see what I look like. Now give me my glasses.
Sure. Sure, here, kid. Sorry.
Now, will you get out of here?
Yeah. Come on, Gloria, and this kid's got nothing for us.
Sorry, kid, honest. I'll, see you around sometime. Hey, Sam, it's snowing like crazy. I can't go out like this. I'll die in the moon.
All right, all right. Here, put this on.
That belongs to the kid.
What is it? What are you taking?
Your Mackinaw. Here's $50. Putting it on the table, kid. That'll buy you half a dozen coats. Now put that Mackinaw on, Gloria, and let's get out of here. What? What's that?
Sounded like a horse.
Helen.
Who?
It might be Helen Prescott. She's a girl I know from the town. Once in a while she comes up here, but I didn't expect her. I was hoping... Oh, Helen, why? Why did you have to come now? Another minute and they would have gone.
Gloria, look out the window. See if anyone's coming up the path. Well?
Hard to see. It's getting kind of dark. Wait a minute. Yeah, there's a horse coming up and somebody's on it. They're going around the cabin.
Why would she do that?
There's a shed in the back. Helen leaves the horse in there in bad weather. She'll be coming in the door in a minute.
Maybe you're telling the truth, or maybe you're not. I don't take chances. Gloria, get over there in the corner. I'll stand behind the door. And listen, kid, you can't see me, but I'm telling you. I got a gun in my pocket. One phony move, and I shoot.
Why'd you lock the door?
Playing it safe until I know it's outside.
But I told you, it's only Helen.
Now shut up. Now ask who it is.
Who's there?
It's me, Bill. Open the door.
I'll do it. You stay where you are.
Bill, why did you bolt the door? You never... Oh, I didn't know you had visitors.
Hello, Miss Prescott.
You know me?
Your boyfriend has been talking about you. I'm Sam Shelby. This is Miss Jackman.
How do you do?
Hi.
If I'm interrupting anything, Bill.
They were just leaving, Helen.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for the coffee, kid. Too bad you... Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's too bad, but that's life, huh?
Are you all right, Bill?
Of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be?
I was worried about you. When I heard the weather report about the blizzard, I thought I'd better get up here.
Why? I don't need anything.
I didn't mean it that way. I thought you might like company. My company.
Why? So you could pity me? I don't want your pity, Helen.
Yeah, let's shove off, Gloria. So long, kid. Sorry we couldn't do business. But you sure couldn't have gone to that plane.
The wreck at the foot of the hill?
That's it.
Of course he could have if he'd wanted to.
Helen, what are you handing me?
You don't seem to realize that there's very little Bill can't do. He can get along as well as anybody in most things. If I could only get him to realize
that.
Shut up,
Helen.
Well, Bill, you know how I feel. I've told
Helen,
you and told
please,
you.
Stop talking.
Sam, do you think...
I don't know. This could be the craziest thing in the world. But we're not missing any bets. Sit down, Gloria. Take off that coat. We're not leaving yet.
Bill, what are they talking about?
I don't know.
All right, let's have a little quiz game. I'll ask the questions, and you better have the right answers. We'll start with you, lady. What do you know about that wrecked plane?
Only what the town knows. It evidently crashed night before last. The pilot called to town this morning. Although how he ever made it, injured as he was a miracle. He told the hospital he was the only one in the plane. With the storm threatening, there seemed no point in sending out a party for an empty plane. They decided to wait until later.
What else do you know?
Well, the pilot phoned New York from the hospital. He told the doctors he was calling some friends. Then he died.
I thought you two were going. I know this kind of weather. The blizzard will get worse. You take my Mackinac and go before it's too late.
Just a couple more questions, kid.
I told you before I couldn't see that plane.
Yeah, that's right. But you didn't have to see it. You could have scrambled down that path like a mountain goat and poked around that plane. Your fingers could have been your eyes. And you could have found something without seeing it. Like you do here.
But why would I do that?
What do you want?
I told you. Information. Your boyfriend here isn't as helpless as he looks. He gets around.
Of course he does.
Helen, shut up.
Bill.
Hey, it's getting dark. Is there a light in here?
The oil lamp's on the table. Helen, you know where the matches are.
Oh, now I can see. I didn't realize how dark it was.
Now let's talk business. Kid, there was something on that plane that belonged to me. Give it to me, I'll make it worth your while. I don't want to get rough with you.
Go away. Take the Mackinac and get out of here.
You little punk, you're starving.
Sam, wait a minute. Now, Billy boy, if you found anything on that plane, why don't you give it to us? You'll be saving yourself a lot of trouble, believe me.
Leave me alone.
Okay, kid, you had your chance. Now I'm going to pound the truth out of you.
Keep your hands off him.
Sam, you don't have to hit the kid, do you?
What do you want me to do, burp him? He went to the plane. I'm positive he did. Huh? Did you?
All right. I went to the plane.
Yeah, I knew it.
I heard the crash the other night, like I said. I didn't know what it was first, but I went down the hill. Naturally, it took me a long time. By the time I got there, the pilot was gone. At least I didn't find anybody.
But you did find something.
Oh. I just made sure nobody was in the plane. Then I came back here. There wasn't anything else I could do.
You're lying. You gotta be lying. There was $100,000 in uncut diamonds on that plane when it crashed.
Diamonds?
Yeah. They weren't among Pete's effects. And they weren't in the plane. Now, you admitted you went down to the wreck. So you found the diamonds, and I want them.
No, I remember. I read about it. You stole the diamonds.
That's right, baby. So what? They were part of a shipment from Belgium. Before they got to the diamond cutters, we got them nice and clean. We had it all figured out. The cops were on to me, so I sent Pete ahead to Mexico with the diamonds. Glory and me were going to follow. Yeah, I had it figured great, all right. Except for the crack-up. There's your last chance, kid. I count to three, and then I start taking you apart. One.
He doesn't have the diamonds, can't you see? He's telling the truth.
Two.
Listen, kid, if you're smart, you'll cough up the stones. Sam can be pretty mean when he gets mad.
Three.
Let go of me!
Keep away, sister. You got him, haven't you? Yes. Yeah, I got him.
I know it.
Why didn't you admit it sooner, kid? You were only asking for trouble.
I would have given them to you right away. What good are they to me? But I was afraid. I figured once you got them, you wouldn't want me around to tell the police, so you'd have to kill me.
Now, why would we do a thing like that?
Sure, kid, you didn't have to worry. Now, be a good boy and hand over the stones, and we'll leave you two alone. We've wasted enough time already. It's dark out. We've got a long way to go tonight.
Bill, you can't give them the diamonds. You know they'll get rid of you once you do.
Shut up, sister.
So what do you want me to do, Helen? Fight? Yeah, that's a laugh. Do I punch the air and hope I hit somebody?
Yes. Pity yourself, Bill. Retreat into your shell so they can pull you out and slaughter you. Then everyone will say, poor Bill, wasn't it a shame and him so helpless? Such terrible people to do such a thing.
Shut up, can't you?
No, I won't shut up. You're not going to give them the diamonds, Bill.
I don't want them.
No, but you want your life. And I want you to be able to live with yourself again.
That's enough now. I don't know what you're up to, sister, but we had enough talk.
Bill, listen to me. The kitchen knife is at your right hand on the table.
What?
And you know every inch of this room. Remember that.
Hey, yes! What's going on here? Shut that! Get a light, Gloria! Can't see a blasted thing!
Well, I put out the light. The room is dark. Pitch dark. He's blinder than you are now.
He can't see. He's blind, too. Blinder than I am, she said. What does she mean?
Where are you? I'll get my hands on you, I'll kill you. Blast that chair.
He can't see me, and I don't have to see him. Maybe. What did Helen say about the knife? Yes, it's on the table. The table. Here it is, at my right. The knife. It should be over here. Ah, I got it. I can't see, but... he can't see either.
Don't move, Shelby. I've got a knife. Don't be a fool. I'll shoot you. You've got to see me first.
Now I'll move to the right. Past the stone.
You missed me, Shelby. Try again.
Now, to the left. Towards the window. But I mustn't walk past the window. A little light might show through from outside. And give him a target. Ah, here's the window. I'll duck down.
I hear you, kid. I'll get you this time. Missed again, Shelby.
I know what he's feeling. I remember those first days when I couldn't see the rage and frustration that seized my heart and brain. The overwhelming desire to strike out, to destroy. But above all, I remember the panic. The blind, terrifying panic. And he's afraid. More than I was. More than I am.
Helen, get behind that table. Stay there.
I'm all right, Bill. Don't worry about me.
I'm going to get you now, Shelby. I know where you are. Even if you stand still, I'll hear you. Because I'll hear you breathe. You can't stop breathing, can you, Shelby? Can you hear me breathe? One more shot. That's all you've got left, Shelby. What do you do when you fire that one?
Gloria, for Pete's sake, get a light, strike a match.
I can't find my bag. Sam, do something. I'm scared.
Sure you're scared. Like I was, first time I was in the dark. But I've had 5 years to get used to it, and now I'm not scared anymore. Because I know the dark. It's my friend. And it's your enemy now, Shelby. The two of us. Me in the dark. And we're gonna get you.
No, you won't. Where are you? Stand still. I'll crush you. I'll tear the life out of you. Where are you?
No more bullets, Shelby. What do you do now?
Strange, isn't it?
All my life I was afraid of the dark. Now I welcome it.
Stay away from me.
Oh, a second ago you were going to tear me apart. Now you want me to stay away from you. What's the matter, Shelby? You afraid of me now?
I've still got the gun. I can crush your skull with it if you move a step closer.
I just moved a step closer, Shelby. Go ahead. Do something. Your gun hit the door, Shelby. Now you have nothing. And I have your gun, too. Now I'm coming after you.
Sam! Sam, I'm scared!
Get away from me!
I'm two steps from the door. He's near the middle of the room. The table is to my right. There's a chair on the other side of the door. 3 paces in front of me is a bench. 1, 2, 3. Now, move left. That's it. He should be directly in front of me. I'm almost within reach of you, Shelby. Better not say anything or I'll know which way you're facing.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Ah, now I know. Facing me. So I swing 2 paces left and come around. Shelby, my knife is an inch from your spine. Don't move or you're a dead man.
Don't touch me. I won't move. I promise.
His head should be about here. I bring the pistol up, butt end of it.
Got him, Helen. Lamp's on the table, Helen. Light it.
All right, Bill. Oh, Bill. I was so afraid you wouldn't realize you weren't helpless.
Almost, Helen.
Sam, how is he?
He'll be all right. Better tie him up, Helen. You'll find some rope in the chest near the cabinet.
How could it happen? He can see. You can't. He had a gun and you didn't. Yet he was afraid of you.
No. He was afraid of the dark. I know what that means. I'll make a fire, Helen. Then we'll wait until the morning. If the storm is over, they'll come looking for that plane. They'll come up here. Then we can hand these two over.
Bill.
Yes.
Maybe now you'll come back to town. Maybe now you'll understand it wasn't pity made me come here.
Yes. I think I do.
By the way, Bill, do you really have the diamonds?
Yes. And that's the funny part of it. He could have taken them all the time, and he didn't know it.
What do you mean?
They're in the pocket of my Mackinaw.
Suspense. You have been listening to Let There Be Light, starring Ivor Francis, and written especially for Suspense by Irwin Lewis. In a moment, a word about next week's story of Suspense. Produced and directed by Bruno Zerato, Jr. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Joseph Cabibbo. Heard in tonight's story were Terry Keane as Gloria and Jean Gillespie as Helen. Listen again next week when we return with Brother John, written by Elspeth Eric. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host, John P., for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
realized it. I have Alzheimer's disease. My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And that will be all for this week on Scald's Hall. And looking outside, I can see the dying of the light. The end of the longest day of my broadcast year this year. Coming up, to begin the darkness will be Canada Post Rock with Joan, although that's a very much more of a cheerful show. And from all of us here, please have a safe and happy weekend. And from all of us here, we'll see you next week.
Discorder Magazine.